Amen. It is a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day. Amen. God has granted us an opportunity to come together to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. On this morning, Sister Bab was added to the body of Christ. Amen. So we're so thankful for her, for her willingness to continue to study the Word of God and to be obedient unto His Word. We thank those that studied with her, take time to show her in the Scriptures what thus said the Lord, and for her being obedient unto that. So for those of you that were not here this morning at about 10:15, 10:20, which is most of y'all, that is when she was baptized on this morning. And so we thank all that assisted in that baptism on this morning. The title of the lesson on this morning, I'm going to go ahead and show that to you. That is the title of the lesson on this morning that was prepared to be presented. So y'all get a good look at that. Y'all heard the scripture that was read. Now take your minds off of it. We had a question that was put in the box, and as always, I generally try to go ahead and answer that question when I get it out of the box. The individual that wrote this forced it on me this morning, said, here, and I was like, put it in the box. And once they put it in the box, they asked me, did I get it out of the box? And I said, no, not yet. And so I had to go back and get the question out of the box. This question is a question that has been asked around and about in different ways. But the question is, I would say, is an HR question. And those of you that do not know what an HR question is, it's a question that is asked and asked in many different forms, many different ways. The answer is always the same. I just want you to know that now. The answer is always the same. So the question that is asked on this morning, does God know what I am thinking or what I am going to do today or what type of day I'm going to have? Does God know? Does God know? Now, all of us that are here, basically, mostly, can answer this with one word. And that one word is yes. God knows. God knows. But we're going to dig a little deeper. We're going to look in the scriptures. And we're going to see exactly what does God know. What does God know? I want you to know that God knows all things. God knows all things. For when you are good, God knows. When you are bad, God knows. God knows how much money you have in your pocket right now. And let me say this about that. God knows what you put in the collection plate. Am I being messy? No, I'm being serious. Because the Bible teaches us in the book of 2 Corinthians, the chapter is 9, that as you give as you have purposed in your heart. Now, a lot of us, we purpose one thing, but we do something different. God knows. God knows. Have you ever sat there and counted out the money that you were going to, that you had purposed to put in that plate? And you looked at it and you thought about the bills that you have to pay. You thought about what you wanted to eat on today or eat this week. Or you thought about what you wanted to do when you go on vacation. And you took a little bit of that back and you put it back in your pocket. God knows. God knows. He knows everything. If God did not know everything, if God did not know what type of day that you was going to have, you remember Jonah? how Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. He did not want to go to Nineveh and to preach that word that God bidded him in Jonah chapter 1. And what did God do? God, when he allowed those men to cast Jonah over the side of the boat into the waters, God knew what type of day that Jonah was having. He knew what type of day Jonah was going to have. He knew the exact place that Jonah was going to be when he created that great fish in order to swallow him up. He knew. And he knew that Jonah was going to beg for his life. To be freed from the belly of that well, he knew, or that great fish, he knew what Jonah was going to do. And what did God do? God allowed that great fish to vomit Jonah up on dry land. And in Jonah 3, he gave Jonah that same word in order to be proclaimed. Does God know what type of day that we're going to have? In the book of 1 John, the chapter is 3. In the book of 1 John, the chapter is 3. We find these words in verse 20. 1 John chapter 3. And the verse is 20. It's verse 19. By this we shall know that we are the truth, and treasure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemned us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. What does that leave for God not to know? Nothing. Because he knows everything. So we can't take anything away from him. We can't hide anything away from him, because he sees everything and he knows everything. And if you don't believe that, you obviously don't believe that there is a God. The creator of this world, the one that laid the foundations of salvation before everything, because he knew what man would do. Let's spend some time in the book of Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Dante, is my glasses over there? Thank you, my brother. Psalm 139. We're going to start with the first verse. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Now, again, we can stop right there, right? Because it says that God knows you. He knows when you're going to lie down. He knows when you're going to get up. He knows what direction you're going to go in. He's there. In verse 4 it says, even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. It slipped out. What slipped out? Is that word that was on your tongue that should not have come out, it slipped out? God knew that it would happen because he knows us. We need to do better, don't we? For when this question was written, obviously it was written for a reason. It was asked for a reason. Because a lot of times we say that, you know, this is going to be a good day. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. But God already knows what you have in your mind. He already knows which direction you want to go in. And he also knows what direction he wants you to go in. He gives us that choice. Now, I've said in times past in reference to that person that says, you know, I got up on the wrong side of the bed. I'm having a bad day. And what did I tell you? I tell you, when you get home, to push that bed up against the wall so you don't only have one side to get up on. Don't go back to bed. Just don't allow it to happen the next day and blame it on you getting up on the wrong side of the bed. Do not allow man to make your day. Focus on what God would have you to do. In verse 5 of Psalm 139, you hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot obtain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Does God know what type of day that we're going to have? Does God know? If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. You waiting on it to get dark to do your dirt? God can see you. God knows what you're planning. So we need to do better, do we not? Yes, we do. In verse 13, he says, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God didn't make anything that wasn't worth anything. Everything that God made was very good. He created man upright. He created man in order to be holy as he is holy. And he desires men to be obedient unto his word and not to stray away from it. In verse 15 of Psalm 139, it says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, even as yet there was none of them. Now, if that doesn't tell you that God knows what you're going to do, I don't know what does. It's written in the book, everything that you're going to do before you do it. Why do you think God said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, who's a just and upright man, one that shuns evil, fears God and shuns evil, stays away from evil? Why do you think that he pointed him toward Job? Because he knew what Job would do. He knew that Job would stand firm. He knew that Job would stand up on his word. He knew that Job would look at his wife and say, you sound like one of the foolish women. He knew what Job would do. That's our God. And we need to fear him. We need to reverence him. We need to serve him because he is worthy to be served. He's worthy to be praised. He is our God. In verse 17, he says, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, there are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, I want you to think about what David was writing right there. And I want you to think about how he was talking to the Lord, how he was telling how great God is and how God knows everything. And then he even tells him to search his heart, listen to his thoughts, and make sure that he stays in the right way. And by every right, does he have to hate what God hates? To hate those individuals that hate him. But yet we have to understand that God does not want man to stay away from him, but he wants man to come to him. Listen to what the Bible says in Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. If you don't think that God knows everything, you need to think again. Luke chapter 22 in the verse is 31. Luke 22 and the verse is 31. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. What is God saying here to Peter? He's saying, Peter, Satan wants you. And Satan is going to have you. But Satan is not going to be able to keep you down. He says, when you have turned, strengthen your brothers. When you are converted, feed my sheep. Do what is right. Does God know? Did God know what Peter was going to do? Yes, he knew. Yes, he knew. But he also gave Peter some instruction. And Peter denied, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay with you. He says in verse 33, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will crow this day, will not crow this day until you deny me three times that you know me. But yet, what did Peter say? I'm ready to go both to prison and to death with you. Peter wasn't ready. Peter wasn't ready. But Jesus said, when you turn back to me, strengthen your brothers. See, we need to be strengthened. We need to continue to focus upon the Word of God and do the things that are right before Him. In the book of Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. And I'm only giving you a few verses that talk about the all-knowing God that we serve. We cannot hide from Him, and we will face Him on that great day. So let's do what's right. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, it says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of fools pour out folly. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. How did God know that you were going to be in the place that you were in when whatever happened to you and you were able to get through it? How did God know? Because He's all knowing. He's our God. He's the creator of everything. He sees what's good and He sees what's evil. So let's do what's right. Let's do what's right. So I believe, you know, we can stop right there with the answer of this question. Does God know what type of day I'm going to have? Does He know? Yes, He knows. Because He's God. Amen. He's God. You know, a lot of times we allow people again to make our days. We allow them to bring us down. We rely on them for our happiness. We need to start relying on God. We need to start depending upon Him and giving Him all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory, because He deserves it all. All of it, not some of it, not most of it, but all of it. Does God know what type of day I'm going to have? The answer is yes, He knows. And I'm going to stop right there with the answer to that question. I can go on and on and on, because there are many scriptures that talk about the all-knowing God that we serve. And we've gone through this in times past. Again, we talked about who God is, the power of God, the presence of God, and the knowing of God. And we go back and we focus on these things, and we go back and we look at His Word, we see that His Word has not changed. His Word will remain the same. And what we need to do is those things that are pleasing and acceptable unto Him. Now let's spend a little time looking at the lesson for today. And again, if I did not do that question any justice, we can talk about it again later. But I believe that God's Word is clear on the subject, that God knows. That God knows. Freedom versus slavery. Freedom versus slavery. Now you can look at this any way you want to look at it. But the way I want you to look at it today is that being free means that you can do whatever you want to do. You have that right. You're that person that said, I'm 18. You can't tell me anything. Do whatever you want to do. You're free. And then we look at slavery. You're bound. You can't do what you want to do. You can't do it because you are a slave to something or somebody. See, there is a difference. There is a difference. We all that are sitting in here right now, we're free. We are American citizens. We are free to come and go as we please. We're free to come to worship God in spirit and in truth. We're free to speak our minds. We're free to write whatever we want to write. We're free to worship our God. We're free. Do you enjoy your freedom? There's a lot of people that don't enjoy their freedom. Let me tell you why I say that. I say that because a lot of them are falling prey to somebody or something. So therefore they become slaves. They become slaves. Again, let's look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. When we talk about freedom, we're talking about being free from sin. Free from sin. Sister Bab is free from sin. Put in Christ on through the watery grave of baptism. She's free now. She came up out of that water this morning. She was a little nervous going in. She was nervous going down. She came up and she regrouped and she was happy. She rejoiced like the eunuch. And I want us to understand, being free from sin is a great feeling. Romans chapter 6 and the verse is 17. Or let's start with verse 15. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under the law, or under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks, in verse 17, but thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. Free from sin. Let me go. I want to be free. See, we allow things to bound us. We allow things to bind us. We allow things to enslave us. And those things I'm talking about is sin. No man, but sin. Something that has no feelings but make you feel a certain way. You understand that? A bottle of Jack Daniels or whatever has no feelings. But once you partake it, you start feeling a certain way. You have sinned. You have sinned. And we need to free ourselves from that type of lifestyle. We need to free ourselves from saying, I need this in order to function during the day. No, you don't need that. What you need is Jesus. Amen. He's the cure of all. Amen. No matter what you're going through, Jesus can help you. Well, what does the Bible say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can overcome addiction. You can overcome those feelings of I need to be out there in the world participating in the things that everybody else is doing. No, you do not need to be out there. You need to be with Jesus. And then we go to the book of John chapter 8 when we talk about slavery. John chapter 8, and we look at verse 32. John chapter 8, verse 32. Again, both of them are really focusing on the same thing, being free. Being free. John chapter 8, verse 32. But verse 31, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you have become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. Now we need to understand, what does it mean to practice sin? You know, we got some people in here that have played baseball, played football, have ran track, have played basketball, whatever sports that is out there, or even with some things that are not considered to be sports. Maybe you were in choir, maybe you were in this or that or the other debate team. You had to practice. You had to practice. Because you was a part of that group, so you practice. Why did you practice? You practice in order to get better. You don't go out there and say, today is tryout. And you go out there and you say, this is not for me. And then you go home and you tell everybody that you're on the team. No, you're not practicing anymore. So therefore, you're not part of the team. A person that goes out and commits one sin and don't go and commit that sin again, he or she is not practicing sin. But the person that goes out there and they continue to do that sin over and over and over and over again, they're practicing sin. They are a slave to sin. That's what the Bible teaches there. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. A slave to sin. So freedom versus slavery. Where do you fall in? Do you fall in as being free from sin? Or do you fall in to being a slave to sin? We all have a choice. We have a choice to be free. We don't let anyone else think for us. We think for ourselves. We do what is right before God. We listen to His word and we obey Him and not man. That's what freedom is all about, isn't it? Making your own choices, but yet making the right choices. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12 and the verse is 1. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. Freedom versus slavery. We need to examine it. And we need to know if we're doing what God wants us to do. And the only way that you're going to know that is by looking into His Word. If you're here today, you do not believe that God knows what type of day you're going to have, you need to start searching the Scriptures. If you're here today and you are not free from sin, you have the opportunity to become free. You have the same opportunity that was afforded to Sister Bab, and many of us have done the same, to come and to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and put Him on through the watery grave of baptism. As many of us has been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. It's what Paul tells them, as many of you that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. In Galatians chapter 3 and the verse is 27. Baptism is what saves. It is not that confession. That confession does not save you. It is part of your salvation. But you have to be baptized according to 1 Peter 3:21. The like figure whereunto baptism doth now also save us. Not to put in the way of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So let us do what is right. And let us be obedient unto His Word. And let us continue to study His Word. When there's a question that is asked concerning His Word, let there be an answer. And again, God has given us answers for everything that we're going to deal with in this life. He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. So let's do what's right. If you're here and you're straight away from the fold, we're asking you to come back. Confess your faults unto Him and allow Him to forgive you, and He will forgive you from all unrighteousness. If you're here and you're subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.